we talked about the fact that God is the one who should fulfill us, right? That just like that cup that is fulfilled, is fully filled, you couldn't get another drop in there, that we should, that God is really all we need, and we should only look for our fulfillment in Him. Because another person or another thing in this life is not going to fulfill us. He is the only one that can fulfill us, and the great news is that He is willing to fill us completely if we allow Him to. And what else do we... That's actually part of the process of being ready to enter a relationship is being fulfilled. That when we... that we really shouldn't seek out a relationship. We shouldn't seek out a marital partner at some point. I know you guys aren't thinking about that now. Without first being getting all of our needs, being able to look to Him for all of our fulfillment that we need. And that's part of being prepared for that. And we also looked at the idea that when God is number one, when He's everything that we're living for, it's kind of a weird concept. We think that we have to pursue after the things that we want in life, like a relationship and marriage and the American dream or whatever we're pursuing. But God's plan for us is so much simpler and so much better than that. That if we look to Him, if we pursue Him with everything that we are, He'll take care of those other areas. We don't even have to worry about it. Those things will take care of themselves. And he'll take care of that area of relationships for us. The reason why we're looking at this, and I covered this a little bit last week, but the reason why we're looking at this is that likely, statistically, probably every one of you guys will be married at some point. It's possible that you may not. It's possible that God will give you the gift of singleness, which would be amazing if He did that. Likely, you guys will be married. And so I'm going to be talking to you guys as people who will eventually be married. And that relationship that you're going to have is going to be the most important relationship that you have in life. And God cares about the person that you're going to have that kind of intimate relationship with. And so we want to look at what God has to say about that and get his perspective on that. If you were not here last week, or if you missed any part of this series, I know I don't say this very often anymore, but please, please, please go to the website and listen to the audio and download the handout, because every single one of these studies is really kind of a unit in its own. They don't really connect a whole lot other than that we're talking about relationships. And they're all very, very important, at least from my perspective. They're all very, very important. And if you miss one part of the puzzle, that's not good in this whole picture. So please, please, please do that. Tonight, we are going to look at the person that God wants you to be with. As you look to Him for fulfillment, and He is everything that you need, and you know that no one else in your life is going to fulfill you, and you're not even looking to them for that, now we need to look at what kind of a person does God want you match up with. So let's pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. God, I just come to you tonight and I just want to admit my dependence upon you. I want to be dependent upon you in every way as we talk tonight and as you allow me to teach these passages that we're going to be looking at. I just pray that you would help me to be clear and to be an adequate teacher, and that your Spirit would really show us areas that we need to grow in, show us areas that our minds need to be changed. God, you know that we're just so inundated with all this information about relationships because our world is really consumed with them. Our culture is really consumed with relationships, and so we see movies all the time and every TV show has relationships and information about relationships, and it's all false. It's all not based on truth. And so we want so desperately to know what you have to say about relationships. And I pray that we would just start to change our thinking about that tonight. I pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, let's look at the top of you guys' sheet. I don't do a lot of this because honestly, I think the place to go to truth is God's Word. And so, as you guys probably noticed, I like to spend time in God's Word. But the top of this handout is five ways we size up a dating relationship. This isn't biblical. This is from some guy who figured this out, and I actually tend to agree with this idea. But I want you guys to understand, we're going to look at this. This is not truth. I think this will just help kind of frame our discussion tonight. So, five ways we size up a dating relationship. And as we go through, I want you guys to rate on 1 to 10, 1 being least important, 10 being most important, how important these things are, or you think they would be in sizing up someone who you might date. First one is emotional. How much we feel for each other. You know, I feel like I love you. You make me feel so good when I'm with you. And so how important is that in sizing up a dating relationship? Someone that kind of gives you the butterflies when you're with them. Emotional, how much you feel for the other person. Second one is physical. How much are we attracted to each other physically? It's pretty self-explanatory. Guys thinking a girl is smoking hot. Girls thinking a guy is, dreamy, a babe. So, physical attraction. How much we are attracted to each other physically. 1 to 10, how important is that? Third is social. How much we get along, common interests. You might say we can talk for hours. I can tell her anything. I can tell him anything. I remember when Melissa and I were first dating, we used to spend hours and hours and hours on the phone. I remember, I don't know if we did this multiple nights, but I remember one particular night that we talked on the phone all night. We stayed up the whole night talking on the phone. We just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. Okay? No. I don't know. Hey, common interests. Things you guys like to do together. We like to hike. We both are interested in sports. We have a lot of things in common. That's the social aspect of a relationship. Intellectual. How much we know and understand each other. This is saying things like, I feel like I have known this person for my whole life. I feel like I can tell this person anything. They know what I'm thinking even before I say it. They understand me like no one else understands me. That kind of a connection, an intellectual connection, how much we know and understand each other. And then the last one is spiritual. How much are we on the same page spiritually? Do we have the same priorities in our spiritual life? So rate all those 1 to 10. As far as how you believe that you size up dating relationships. Let me just say that all five of these things are normal, legitimate ways that we size up someone who we're interested in dating. The question is, how should we prioritize these? Based on what we know about relationships so far and what we're going to look at tonight, how should we prioritize these? And you guys will actually do that in your So What time. You'll prioritize these a little bit. Let's look at Genesis 2, 20 through 24. Should be right at the beginning of your Bibles, in case Genesis chapter 2, starting verse 20. You guys are probably very familiar with this scene here. It says, the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Which is actually what the word woman means, is out of man. This is creation, okay? You guys are familiar with this. God created Adam. Then God created all of these animals, okay? All the animals of the earth were all there. Adam started naming all these animals. But in all of the animals of the earth, there was something missing for Adam. Of all the animals, there was no helper suitable for him, which is verse 20 there, which means there was no one that matched him. There was no one that fit Adam. And so God put him into a deep sleep, took a rib from him, and made Eve, someone who was Adam's fit. Someone he could talk to, someone he could spend time with, someone he could share his life with. Which if you can imagine the setting, you can talk to a cow, but is the cow going to talk back to you? No. Can you really share your life with a cow? No. You know, you can pet a cow and, you know, spend time with a cow, but there's, you can't really share life with that person. And so there was no real fit, and so Eve was made as that fit. The point here is, as you guys all know the story, consistently throughout this passage, God is the source of everything that is happening here. God recognizes. It's not like Adam was like, "Hey God, I need somebody. Work it out." God recognized Adam's need. He recognized that there was nothing in all creation that was a suitable fit for Adam. And so God, after recognizing that, he decided to do something about it, and he made Eve for Adam. And he made Adam for Eve. It was all done by God because he cares about him. Then it goes on in verse 24, and it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." He moves on here in the description, and now shifts it to us. Okay, this is the scene of Adam and Eve, but now he shifts it to us. And he says, "For this reason, just like Adam and Eve, Adam needed a fit, and God provided a fit for Adam, in the same way, God will provide a fit for you. For that reason, a man will leave his father and mother, leave that submissive relationship to his father and mother, and be joined, be fit to his wife. And they shall become one flesh." They shall become one. This is God's plan for us. God's plan for Adam and Eve was they needed a fit. God's plan for us is we have a fit. And God knows it. He cares about us. And he's preparing for that. What I really want you guys to understand from this is that God right now, Ross, I was going to say guys, but Ross, you're the only one here. Ross, right now, God knows exactly your fit. Has that girl planned right now? It's Wednesday night. Maybe she's sitting in youth group right now. God knows exactly who your fit is, and is preparing her as she's preparing you to fit her. Girls, every single one of you, God has your fit right now that he's preparing for you. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is trust him. He's already doing the work in you, and he's already doing the work in them. He's preparing that person to be the fit that you need, the fit that's for you. And I just have on here kind of a dumb question, but why isn't God preparing a guy for Ross or a girl for you girls? And you might go, ooh, that's gross, that's why. No, it's because, I mean, that is, yeah, that is gross, but that's not the point. The point is, they're not a fit. He created one man and one woman to be a fit, and God has a fit for you, but it's not another girl or another guy. That's why that's not a good idea. That it's not a fit. It's against what God has for you. This was God's plan from the beginning, and sin has entered the world, and sin has perverted things and caused a twisting of marriage and a twisting of his plan for this intimate relationship between a man and a woman. But we can trust in the God who still has that plan for us, which is the point there. It says God has a fit for you. Trust him. That's your response. God already has that fit for you. Your response is simply to trust him. 2 Corinthians 6. Flip over to that. Has someone already done that? I have a page number for me. Okay, so God has this fit for you. What is this fit going to look like? Can't tell you exactly what he or she is going to look like, but I can tell you some general ideas about what your fit looks like. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14, says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" He simply states a command here not to be bound, which means to be connected in an exclusive relationship, or to partner with someone who is a mismatch. And he says what that is. He says, do not be bound. He's talking to believers, talking to us. It says, do not be bound in an exclusive relationship, in a partnership with an unbeliever. Don't fit yourself with that person. This word bound was actually used in the Old Testament to as the word for yoking, which sounds, I'm not talking about an egg yolk, but a yoke is, if you've ever studied like pioneer life and like the whole Oregon Trail and all that stuff. Okay, they had the wagons, and they had oxen up there, and they would put this little thing to join the two oxen. You guys know what I'm talking about? Little bar that goes across them. That is a yoke. And the idea is not to be yoked together with an unbeliever. And you would never do that with, like, oxen. You wouldn't have an ox and a horse, or an ox and a donkey. You would not do that. There's actually an Old Testament law that says do not yoke an ox with a donkey. The reason why you don't do that is they're mismatched. They're going to pull at different amounts. Oxen are far more strong than a donkey is. And there's not a match. It's like getting on an airplane that has a propeller on one side and a jet engine on the other side. That plane is not going to fly very well. It's going to fly in circles a bunch. You got to have a match. and you don't want to be mismatched. He says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. And then he says, why? And honestly, when I first read this, I was like, man, this is harsh. But understand, this is truth. Truth can be harsh sometimes, but this is the truth. He says, for what partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? He's making identity statements and saying that you, if you've decided to follow Jesus with your life, you've been transformed into God's righteousness. And unbelievers are still lawless, which means they do not submit themselves to God in any way. You submit yourself to God in every way. That's who you've been created to be. How can someone who doesn't submit themselves to God in any way and someone who submits themselves to God in every way have any kind of fellowship? You can't. He says, or what fellowship has light with darkness? I love this illustration because I like these like science things. Light and darkness cannot exist in the same point. Light is actually the absence of darkness, and darkness is the absence of light. Whenever there's light, darkness does not exist. Whenever light is gone, whenever darkness exists, there is zero light. There is zero light particles in that area. Darkness is the absence of light. They cannot spend time together, light and darkness. And then he says, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, which is just another name for Satan? Think about that. What are Christ and Satan ever going to be able to fellowship about? What are they ever going to be able to hang out and have any kind of interaction about? They have no fellowship. It's Christ and Satan. There's no fellowship there. And then he's saying, in the same way as righteousness and lawlessness cannot have fellowship, light and darkness cannot have fellowship, Christ and Satan cannot have fellowship, what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And you probably are going, wait, but we have this in common. We like athletics. We like to do that together. We like to go hiking. We like the same shows. We think this movie's cool. We have things in common. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. What really matters, the things that really matter in life, you can have no fellowship. It's impossible to have fellowship with them. Don't be fooled. Don't be misled. Don't go by your own logic. Don't go by your own trying to figure things out and going, wait, but hold on. Just trust God and go, God, you know what's best for me. You're not saying this to hurt me. You're saying this to help me. I trust you. Now, I'm going to leave this to you because honestly, to be honest with you guys, I'm a little undecided on this word bound. This is what the word bound means. It means to be connected in an exclusive relationship, to partner. You may look at this and you may say, you know what? A dating relationship is not an exclusive partnership. And that it's just fun. We're just hanging out. And honestly, if that's your attitude towards it, I would probably say it's just fine to have a dating relationship like that. But if you think that a dating relationship that you may have or may already be in is being bound with that person in an exclusive relationship. Clearly, marriage is an exclusive relationship. I think we can all agree on that. Probably engagement is definitely an exclusive relationship. Not going to be engaged to multiple people. Hopefully, you wouldn't be. You make the decision, but this is the truth. Don't be bound together with an unbeliever. We can say this definitively. As far as a fit for you, unbelievers do not fit believers. They just don't. Okay. All right, flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We were in this last week. We're actually going to continue on with the passage we were looking at last week. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. What page is that? 802. Let's actually start in verse 15. This is what we looked at last week. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. He ends with that little statement, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And now he's going to go on. He actually goes on beyond what we're going to look at today. And he talks about submissive relationships is what this section is that we're going to start to look at. And he starts in verse 22. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. As you prepare for marriage, as you enter relationships, dating relationships, and I'll say serious dating relationships that could end up, that are serious emotional attachments that could end up in marriage at some point. Because I understand that there are people who just hang out and date. They go on dates with people. I'm talking about a serious relationship, a committed relationship. That's preparing you for marriage. You've got to evaluate the role, I'm talking to the girls right now, you've got to evaluate the role that you are going to have to that person if you get married. And so this is part of how we evaluate a fit for us, is whether we can do what it says here, or we think we might be able to do this. He says, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. The relationship that you're preparing for is a relationship where the guy is the husband, is the more important one in the relationship. That you look at your relationship and go, you know what? I am in this relationship so that I can live for what he needs, what he wants, what he desires. And he is going to be the most important person in this relationship that we have. My needs, my desires, the things that I want, they take a back seat to what he needs, what he wants. He is the priority. The question that you need to ask as you're entering serious dating relationships is think about whether this is someone that you could see living your life for. That you could see living to serve them in that submissive relationship that you would have. And if it's not someone that you could see living your life for, it probably is not someone you should be in a relationship with. In a serious, committed relationship with. Now understand, I'm talking to you girls, because this is your role. He's talking to you here. This is not so that guys can say, you need to submit to me. That's not his purpose at all. So rough, none of that. And guys aren't to make themselves the most important person in the relationship. You are to make them the most important person in the relationship. That's your role. Then he goes on. Verse 25. It's for you, Ross. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ross, you're preparing for a relationship where daily you are going to have to give up your life. Your call is to give up your life for her. That's giving up your wants, giving up your needs, giving up your desires. She's the priority. You're to give up you're to give yourself, to love yourself in such a way that you reflect the way Christ loved us. And how did he love us? He gave himself up for us. That is our responsibility as men, is to give ourselves up for her. She's the priority. So the question is, as you enter a relationship, a committed relationship, is that someone that you could see yourself giving up your life for? And if it's not, it's probably not the right fit for you. You guys get the picture here of what he's trying to do? Girls, you're giving up your life to serve, or you're serving your husband. You will serve your husband with your life. Guys will give up their life for their wife. It's about the marriage relationship. It's not about what you get. There's no indication here. There's no indication really anywhere in Scripture that you're in that relationship for what you can get. But there's multiple places, including here, where it very much indicates that marital relationship, that intimate relationship you have, is about what you can give and what you give up for the other person. Are you at a place in your life right now where you are willing to have that kind of a relationship? That you're not looking to get your needs met, because remember, where do our needs get met? God. Full fulfillment from him. Everything that we need from him. Which frees us to serve. Which is what the marital relationship is about. Are you at a point where you're ready to give up your wants, your desires for that other person? If you're not, you're not ready for dating. You're not ready for a serious relationship. And as a side note, maybe you're ready for that relationship. Maybe you're ready to give up and serve that other person. But are these things true about the person that you're wanting to date? Do they have the same thinking that you do? The biblical thinking that you do? Or are they looking to get from the relationship? It's not the person you should say. Don't settle. Trust God that he knows what's best for you. Don't settle for something or someone that is not what God has planned for you. Trust me. Don't trust me. Trust God when he says that he has a fit for you and that he will take care of it. We looked a lot at that next week, or last week. He will take care of it. There will probably come a point in your life where you're like, I just don't know if that guy who's willing to give up everything for me is out there. Or that girl who's willing to serve me with her life is out there. God has that person out there for you. Don't settle. Questions down there at the bottom is, what needs to change in your life to prepare you for a relationship? No need to rush it. You don't have to jump right into, oh, I need to change now so that I can have a relationship next week. But you need to start to change now so that when God's ready for you to date, when you're really ready to date and God's ready to have you in that relationship, that you'll be ready. You'll be prepared for that. And what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I will say this, guys, and I'm sure you would hear your So What leaders chime in on this too, and then maybe they'll chime in on it in So What time, but the world says that if you just seek to get what you need from that other person, you'll be fulfilled. That they'll fulfill all the things that you need. And it's so wrong and so empty and just, it's just a lie. It's not real. When you do this, when you give up your wants, your needs to serve the other person, and the other person is giving up their life to serve you, it is amazing. It's how God created us to operate. It is the most amazing relationship you could ever encounter when it's working the way God intended it to work. It's amazing. Let's pray and we'll go to our solid group. God, I just thank you for your truth. I thank you for telling us how it really is. We would not get the truth about how you've created us to work and how relationships work best. We would not get that from any other source but you. Because we live in a world that tells us far different than that. God, I just pray that we would make the decision tonight to trust you in faith. That we would look at these passages and we would say, yes, God, we believe you. And we're going to live our lives in response to this. We're not going to settle for someone who's not the person you have for us. Not the fit you have for us. And we're going to live, we're going to start preparing ourselves for a relationship in which we serve. And not for what we get. God, we can only do that when we're dependent upon you and that you fulfill us in every way.